Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of the much-anticipated Physician Members Podcast from the Northern Colorado Medical Society, Stethoscope, bringing new scope on our community of physicians, healthcare topics, NCMS leadership, and more. My name is Paige, and I'm the Executive Director of NCMS and the lucky host of Stethoscope. The mission of the Northern Colorado Medical Society is to advocate on behalf of our physician members to encourage a strong and healthy medical profession. A part of encouraging that strong and healthy medical profession is providing outlets for our physician members to get to know their colleagues and allow them to think outside the realm of the exam room. Today's guest is a member of the NCMS Board of Directors, Dr. Sean Pazowski, a neurologist at UC Health. His work and his hobbies are extremely inspiring, and we're excited to dive in and learn a little bit more about him. Dr. Pazowski, welcome. It's so great to have you.
Thanks, Paige. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So how does it feel to be the first ever guest on Stethoscope? Is this something that you're excited about for NCMS?
Yeah, it is. I think it's a great opportunity to discuss issues that are important to physicians in the region, hopefully get to know a few more people out there and just kind of build community that way.
Absolutely. So how did you, let's just start with, you know, a little bit about your professional career. How did you land on the path of neurology or even understanding that you wanted to be a physician?
Yeah, well, I guess it goes back. My father was a healthcare attorney. I had an uncle who was a surgeon, and I had several aunts who were nurses. So healthcare was always kind of around in the background growing up. And the first time I can remember thinking about becoming a physician was probably in middle school. During a science class when I was just so drawn to the dissections and other coursework. And I remember telling my teacher at that time in middle school that I might want to be a physician, but it kind of sat on the back burner throughout high school. I continued to stay interested in the sciences. But then when I got to college, I decided to major in biology and English and still didn't really know how I wanted to combine those two interests into a profession, but I also had kind of a strong moral education in the schools that I went to. And then a mentor that I had kind of told me, you know, you can maintain other interests, but make sure that you, you know, have something that's solid as an underpinning for your career. And so it just seemed kind of natural. I'd worked in some research labs and, you know, spent some time as a congressional staffer and done some other things, but it just seemed like medicine was the direction I wanted to take my life. Around the, you know, beginning to middle of college, that I kind of set my mind to that. And so that's kind of how I came to apply to medical school. And that was about 15 years ago. So here we are now.
That's fantastic. And when did you find your passion for neurology? How did that come about?
That came about, I had worked in a lab at the National Institute of Mental Health and had a really great PI. It was a neuroscience project studying fruit flies and kind of some of their behaviors and things of that nature. And that was kind of my first exposure to neuroscience. But then when I went to medical school, it was really the coursework that just kind of, I just kind of came alive when, you know, we went through the neurosciences block and I knew that was something that I might want to do at that point. And then I took a year to confirm that by doing clinical research in Alzheimer's disease. And at that point, I knew that neurology was what I wanted to do. And so kind of took the path from there.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. So how long have you been in Colorado?
Well, that's a good question. I've lived here consecutively for the last two going on 3 years. But I lived here in the 80s when I was a kid. And my parents are originally from Kansas, but we had moved here. And so I have those kind of distant memories of childhood living in Fort Collins. And so when my folks decided to retire, they always loved Fort Collins and decided to move here. And then I decided to join them after that.
Fantastic. Are you a big fan of Fort Collins? Are you a Ram fan by chance?
Yeah. I'm a CSU fan. I'm a CU fan. It's great to have the university here. And I think Fort Collins and just the region is just a great region to live in and work in.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, especially at UC Health, that's, you know, just such an amazing organization in Northern Colorado. So I'm sure that you've had great experiences with them.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful system.
Cool. And so you mentioned that you majored in English and that was, you know, a form of study of yours. Is that still a part of your life today? Do you like to read? Do you like to write?
Yeah, it is. I would call it my most fervent hobby. You know, I have several kind of passions that kind of keep me grounded outside of clinical practice, but English, reading and writing is probably the number one pursuit that I have that I've kind of carried forward from college. And there was actually a mentor that I had during college who had been an immunogeneticist before becoming a Slavic languages and literatures professor. And so he kind of inspired me that maybe I could, you know, have a profession as a bedrock and then maintain an interest outside. And reading and writing has been, I would call it my most fervent hobby.
That's fantastic. So what like tips specifically can you remember that your mentor gave you? And is that, are you still in contact with him? Is that an ongoing relationship?
Well, unfortunately, he passed away in 2015. But really what he did was give me the confidence. You know, he kind of had a practical mindset and said, you know, you need to do something to kind of have a bedrock. And medicine is a wonderful profession by itself. But he said, you know, you can pursue writing as a, you know, kind of a, I don't know what to call it, just kind of like a meta pursuit outside of just daily living. And but really, it was the confidence that he gave me that that you could do both. And he was actually mentored by one of the, you know, one of the 5 or 10 greatest authors of the 20th century, Vladimir Nabokov, who was a lepidopterist in addition to being an author. And so there was kind of this, I just felt like it was kind of a tradition that, you know, I could be a part of where, you know, you could have your scientific interests and your career, and then also something outside of that in literature.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. So you've mentioned a lot about, you know, the sense of confidence. So how do you use this sense of confidence daily with this hobby? Are you currently writing? Do you like to write blogs? Are you more of a, are you writing books? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I've done a couple different things over the last 5 or so years is when I've kind of started to take writing more seriously as a pursuit. And, you know, I think like every college English major, you think that you're, you know, you read enough books that you're like, well, I could do that, you know, but then just getting that confidence to sit down and actually do it. So I actually thought of my first novel when I was in college and kind of had the story outlined and but didn't really have the courage to sit down and do it until about 5 years ago. And then once I found that I was able to do that, it gave me the confidence to do another book of short stories that I wrote during residency. And then just in the past year, I took my first stab at historical fiction, writing a book about Wyatt Earp. So it's kind of been a process for the last 5 years. And none of these are published works, by the way. Yeah, that's kind of in the process as well.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're willing, tell us a little bit about your first novel. Like what inspired it? What was it about? And is that still one of your favorite pieces of work that you've done?
Yeah. So I think like a lot of aspiring novelists, you kind of start writing for yourself, you know, and so you're always kind of writing your experiences and what you know, both personally and emotionally and all these things. So my first novel is kind of somewhat, I guess you would call semi-autobiographical, you know, not based on any real life characters, but just kind of an amalgamation of different experiences that I had had in Washington, D.C., in California, in Chicago. And so the title character is a scientific journalist, you know, who's investigating a story at the National Institute of Mental Health, you know, big surprise based on that experience. And it's just kind of a sort of a Buildings Roman coming of age tale, and really kind of a millennial novel, you know, based on kind of those millennial themes of allegiances and social, you know, issues and just kind of a, but it's also kind of an adventure, you know, so that those are kind of some of the overarching themes, but all kind of, you know, I would call it somewhat semi-autobiographical.
That's very cool. I love it. How did it feel to finally finish that first novel? Because it sounds like, you know, that was a long work in progress. You know, the the initial thought of it? And then how did it really feel to finally finish it?
It was a pretty great feeling, actually. You know, it's kind of one of those things like, you know, like any big pursuit that you've spent years thinking about working on, to get a finished product in your hand, it was pretty great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so then you mentioned that then you had a second novel after that. Was that one semi-autobiographical as well, or did that have a totally different feel to it?
Well, the second book was a book of short stories that were all tied to the town that I grew up in Topeka, Kansas. And so that was kind of somewhat of an homage to my hometown, you know, just characters tied to that. And it's a little different. I kind of look at writing short stories as being somewhat more experimental, or you can experiment a lot more easily, kind of taking one story and saying, okay, I want to experiment on dialogue here, or I want to make this the prose story. But the second book, was different in that it wasn't such a new process. I was kind of trying to fine tune and learn a little bit more about just the writing process by doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So has anyone from Topeka, Kansas had a chance to read any of these short stories?
I would say a couple might. I started a literary blog during residency. It was kind of like the one thing that I did outside of residency to kind of, relieve stress and, you know, just kind of have that creative pursuit. So I posted those stories on my literary blog. And I'm sure that, you know, some people from Topeka took a look at them, you know, not sure if they liked them or not, but at least they were out there.
Absolutely. I'm sure they loved them. Why wouldn't they? And then you mentioned historical fiction. How has that been? What's that experience like?
Yeah, well, that's kind of been another thing. I don't know what it is about neurologists, but we seem to have a kind of an inclination towards history. And actually what started it was about 3 years ago, I'd been investigating some family history and came across the supposition that kind of a famous Wild West character was named after a family member. And that Wild West character is Wyatt Earp. And so I didn't really intend to go down the path of historical fiction right away, but just with that experience and that interest in genealogy and family history, I decided to, you know, take a stab and start researching. And so that's kind of how that project came about.
Definitely. So is that project still ongoing? Is it wrapped up in your mind? Where are you at with it?
So all of these works are currently in revision. You know, I would say that I've done much more work in the writing process than in the attempting to share kind of category, you know, like the publication process. But I'm kind of trying to take it a little more, to the next level with publications. And I've sent out, they call them query letters. I've contacted a few people in the publishing world about this novel. And so it's currently in revision, but I feel like if it's something I can share, that's the other thing about writing, is that you can write it and then put it on the shelf, but you kind of at some point want to share it with other people. And so kind of working on that right now with the historical novel.
Absolutely. What is the nervous level like for that? I've never applied to medical school or gone through that experience, but is it just as scary to be sending out your potential book for publication and getting feedback for the first time?
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. It's somewhat nerve-wracking, you know. Again, like when you start writing, I think you kind of do it for yourself. And that's why the first novel was kind of an autobiographical type of thing. You do a lot of imitation of the people that you like. But then eventually you kind of have to start thinking about, okay, what's the reader experiencing? And so I'm kind of getting to the point where, you know, I want to tell a good story that's true to the original vision, while also something that the reader is going to enjoy and get something out of. I'd say it's nerve-wracking, and I'm just trying to learn more about how to edit and, make a book that's true to what I would like to get out there into the world, and something that the reader is going to enjoy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, this could be a stretch, but do you think part of your passion for writing and, you know, reading and having people read, did that come from studying neurosciences? Do you see this connection that reading is just amazing for the brain?
That's actually a really good question. And it's actually becoming more in focus, I would say, in terms of the research on things like reading and writing and what they do to the brain and for the brain. And most of it is good stuff. You know, I'd say 99% of what's come out has been good. And, you know, they kind of try to divide commercial and literary fiction as the kind of two subgenres. And I just read a recent study about how literary fiction helps with this thing called attributional complexity, which is kind of like, kind of understanding human behavior. It makes sense, you know, if you're reading and putting yourself in the shoes of a character, that's no different than kind of trying to put yourself in the shoes of another person. And so that's a good benefit of it. It's been known to reduce egocentrism, which is good. You know, it's been known to enhance empathy. And so I've kind of grown to see the dynamic between my hobby in literature and my professional practice in neurology as being somewhat dynamic, in that my hobby, you know, helps me relax. It helps me, you know, just kind of have that outlet, that kind of release valve for the stresses of the profession. But then it also, I think, enhances my empathy. It enhances all these things that you sort of need to be a good physician. And so, yeah, I see us just learning more and more about the effects of literature on the brain. And I think it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, you bring up a great point, and you know, you've kind of touched on this, but, you know, being a physician, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of stress. And it's sometimes, I'm sure, hard to understand where the line is between work and play, and how do you let go and actually de-stress? Is there anything else that you do as a physician that you have advice for others that helps you find that wellness balance?
I think most physicians are pretty good about kind of practicing what we preach when it comes to things like exercise and healthy diet. But, you know, the, just kind of the lifestyle things, you know, sleep, but then also having these kind of, I think everybody needs kind of one thing outside of clinical practice, whether it's, you know, I think my uncle said that his thing was sailing. You know, he lives down on the Gulf. He said that was the one thing that could just kind of get him away and recharge and recalibrate. And that's something that, you know, everybody in the profession kind of needs to focus on, and literature kind of serves that purpose for me. But I also like to exercise. I like to hike. I like to go fishing, skiing, and all those good things that you have in Colorado. And so, I think it's something that everybody kind of needs to make an effort, to focus on. And I think that we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have you read any great books lately, especially in this time of COVID, that has really brought some light to the situation that you would recommend for people to read?
Plague literature isn't the most uplifting most of the time. But there was a John O'Hara story that I read called, I think it was called The Doctor's Son, that was kind of enlightening about, obviously the son of a doctor going around during the influenza pandemic of 1918. Camus has written a treatise on sort of a plague situation as well, that's somewhat a little bit darker. I think these sort of representations are good at getting us in touch with kind of almost getting out of and decoupling ourselves from the reality, and being able to kind of take a look from the outside and say, hey, you know, this is something that people have been through before. We can get through this. These are some of the issues. And so that's kind of some of what I found through the reading that I've done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think some interesting literature is going to start to come in the next couple years from COVID? Is there going to be some weird books that you think that are going to be published?
I think that there probably will be. And because authors, like to write about what's going on in the present, you know, but what's present has been what's been in the past. And so I don't know what that will look like, but I do think that there's going to be, you know, some variation, or I think it'll take a little time before people really want to revisit COVID and when it's finally over. But I do think that maybe 3, 4, or 5 years down the road, we'll get some books that examine it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'll be interesting too, to see, you know, how Hollywood may understand this situation and movies that may come out. It'll just be so interesting to see kind of the whole creative world, how they portray this time in our lives. Well, I'll end with one question, hopefully an exciting one. So as we come through on 2021, should we expect that you're going to start writing another book? Are you going to do some more short stories? Do you have something on the brain?
Well, I am at work on another novel that I would say combines aspects of the first novel and the historical novel. And it's set in Berlin. I won't say too much about it because I'm still kind of working through some of the characters and themes, but I am planning a novel that's both historical and somewhat autobiographical next year as well, that I'm currently researching.
Well, that's fantastic. I hope that, you know, in 3, 4 years time, we will see your name in bookstores. You'll be in Barnes and Noble, Amazon, Audible, all of them. I have no doubt, for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And, you know, there is this thing, you write for yourself, but you also want to share it. So I would happily share, you know, what I've written when it's ready, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Pazowski, for joining us. And thank you all for listening in on Stethoscope. And we will see you soon.